Our text, the appointed epistle or second lesson for this Tuesday following the sixth Sunday of Easter, is written in Paul's letter to Timothy, the first letter, second chapter, verses 1 through 6. First of all, therefore, I urge that entreaties and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made in behalf of all men, in behalf of emperors and all those in places of authority, in order that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and seriousness. This is good and pleasing before God our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as the ransom in substitution for all, this being the testimony at the right time. This is our text. May the undeserved favor of God which Christ gained for us be the foundation for your every joyous hope. Amen. As we gather today for worship, the church year finds us in that week of the Easter season when we celebrate our Lord's ascension. The calendar year finds us in that week of Memorial Day. And the academic year finds us gathered to partake for the final time before commencement of the Lord's Supper. And for many, perhaps, it will be the final time to commune together before death and judgment day. In these various contexts, St. Paul's words to young Pastor Timothy, which are also God's words to us, speak most appropriately. God tells us, as disciples of the ascended and ruling Lord, as citizens whose political freedom has been purchased at the cost of many lives, as students and staff at a theological seminary, that our confidence in Christ's substitutionary payment of the ransom for sin should move us both to pray for government officials and also to be active in spreading abroad his saving gospel. We will attend to this word of God in accordance with the theme, Good Government, Good Gospeling. First, a word about the meaning of each of these terms. By good government, we refer, of course, to that specific exercise of temporal authority on the part of government officials, whereby those who live outwardly good lives are protected, while those who perpetrate evil actions are apprehended and punished. In their proper and judicious use of the power of the sword entrusted to them, governmental officials, civil rulers, and leaders act as God's own servants in providing a stable and secure community where we can dwell and work, living a quiet and peaceful life, as our text puts it, in all godliness and seriousness. The other term, good gospeling, hardly qualifies as acceptable English, since we normally do not identify the word gospel as a verb. Interestingly, however, dictionaries do define the word gospeler as one who reads or sings the gospel pericope in a worship service. And the Greek noun euangelion, meaning evangel or gospel, has the same stem as the verb euangelizo or euangelizomai, meaning to bring or proclaim good news, to evangelize, or more vernacularly for us this morning, to gospelize or to gospel. By good gospeling, therefore, We refer to that specific exercise of the faculty of communication on the part of Christian laity and pastors, whereby they make known to one another and to others the good news of forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God because of Christ, God's eternal and incarnate Son. Good gospeling means sowing, that is, broadcasting God's good word. It means good testimony of the love of God for the world in Christ. It means good person-to-person proclamation of Jesus of Nazareth, who gave himself for our sins that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Having noted the meaning of the terms good government and good gospeling, let's pursue now some of their significance and interrelationship. Good government, we note, is not produced by the sinful nature of man, but is a gift from God. Natural man would like to rule over others in accordance with the selfish principle that goes something like this: I'll reward and protect and make life easy for those who agree to do things my way, and I'll punish or make life difficult for those who disobey me or who might have different ideas and aims. We can get a glimpse of this within ourselves when we are given even the slightest measure of secular or organizational authority. We might, for example, consider our stations in our resident field education parish, or as husband, or father, or professor, or administrator, or prospective vicar, or pastor. As we look at our own feelings and attitudes toward the exercise of authority, we readily see that the sin of selfish exercise of authority is crouching at the door of each of our hearts. None of us is immune. We like to pull the strings and control people so that our interests may be served. And so it is that because of the sinful nature of man, neither we nor any other sinful human beings can produce good government. Wherever it does occur, as it has for some 200 years in this country of ours, God alone deserves the glory. And yet, we who ought to thank God for blessing us through those in places of authority often take secular rulers and God for granted, or, what is worse, heap abuse and scorn upon them. Whether in public or in private, we often rattle off the words of the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer without giving even a thought to government officials. And apart from the Lord's Prayer, our private intercessions may be completely devoid of references to secular leaders. Even in our assemblies of worship, we may overlook entreaties and thanksgivings for those in authority, except, as yesterday, on national holidays. Such certainly is not the will of God. God makes his desire for us unmistakably clear. As St. Paul says in our text, "First of all, therefore, I urge that entreaties and prayers and intercessions and thanksgivings be made in behalf of all men, in behalf of emperors and those in places of authority." In view of God's expressed desire, we must indeed confess that we do not love God or good government or other people as we ought. We are selfish both in our exercising of authority and in our living under authority. We are sorry for it, but we know that we are sick from it. And this, our sin, has called upon us the displeasure and damnation of our God. Can there be any hope? That's where the other part of our theme, good gospeling, properly bursts in and recolors the entire picture. For by his wise and powerful direction of this world's affairs through the channels of secular government, God has made it possible for other believers to bring to us the saving waters of baptism, the rejuvenating message of the gospel, and the enabling supper of our Lord's own body and blood. Furthermore, through these means of grace administered by his church in the world, the Holy Spirit has brought us to faith in the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a sacrifice in substitution for all sinners, and who won for us the victory over selfishness and every sin. Simply put, God uses good government to provide abundant opportunities for good gospeling, despite the one fact that neither we nor anyone else deserves either one of them, and because of the other fact that we have all alike been purchased to be his own people by the blood of his only begotten Son. And thus, when we who are gathered today look toward the future, we see that good government also has a very close connection with the good gospeling that we have or envision as our life's work. A peaceful and tranquil society opens many doors for heralds of the heavenly Savior and King. In freedom, we can move about and help others see the open sores of their wickedness under the law, but also apply to them the balm, the healing balm of salvation accomplished by Jesus, knowing all along how God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Away then with our selfish neglect of prayers for those who have temporal authority. Away with our hesitancy to make known the good news of life and forgiveness in Christ. Moved by the grace of God in Christ, which was given to us through the sacrament of baptism, enlivened by his mercy revealed to us through his gospel of love, and fortified by that forgiveness which we receive again today as it is offered to us in the Holy Supper, let us pray for good government. Let us engage in good gospeling. Amen.